Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A quick show of hands. How many of you have or typically celebrate Ascension Day? How many of you have ever celebrated Ascension Day? Oh, nice. Me too. I asked that question because that's kind of what I thought. But in times past, Christians would have celebrated Ascension Day regularly. It was just as important as Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. And in fact, in Europe, they still celebrate it today. There's a woman at our last service from Switzerland who said to me afterwards, "Thank you so much for mentioning the importance of Ascension Day." It's a part of the creed that we confess every week, but most of us don't typically celebrate it. Ascension Day takes place on a Thursday, so that might be why, 40 days after Easter every year. This year it's May 29th, if you'd like to celebrate it. It's the Thursday after Memorial Day. It wasn't until my first call as a pastor in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that Ascension Day became a big deal to me because we celebrated it every single year. We would gather at the park on the highest hill in Sioux Falls, share sunrise devotions, release, and watch helium balloons go into the sky until we couldn't see them anymore. And then we'd all gather beneath the park's pavilion for breakfast together. And one year, this magical tradition took a whole new turn to a whole nother level. Someone in the congregation had a flatbed truck that was driven to a farm field not too far away. We gathered a band, we held a worship service on the flatbed truck, we catered barbecue dinner, and then we raffled off a hot air balloon ride as we watched two randomly chosen people from our church community ascend in a hot air balloon basket while a few of the others of us were chasers. We stayed back and watched, and then we chased to see where it would finally land. It taught me a lot about ascension because I think it's really hard to understand and even harder to explain. Though I'd never celebrated Ascension Day before moving to Sioux Falls, my church growing up always had a Rally Day celebration, which of course is in September, but it reminded me a bit of what we did with the helium balloons. We would each have a helium balloon, all the kids in our Sunday school classes. We would write our name on a tag with the address and a message that said, you know, God loves you or something, and then we'd tie it to the balloon, release it, and hope that someone would find it and send it back to us. And wouldn't you know, that happened for me. I was in about first grade, I think, when I remember a young girl from Wisconsin finding my broken helium balloon in her farm field. She put it in an envelope with a note back to me telling me she had found this balloon and she reciprocated the message of God's love. It happened when I was so young, but something like that you never forget. Today's gospel text takes place right after Jesus dies. Right after he's raised, right after he walks to Emmaus and shares dinner with his disciples, and the disciples are starting to get it. Jesus has been opening their eyes and their hearts and their minds to understand Scripture. And now, as he blesses them, it says he's carried off into heaven while they return to the city with great joy. Which is kind of hard for me to imagine, actually, because we know how hard and heartbreaking even small goodbyes can be. I would imagine they were confused. These first disciples had given up their very stable careers to follow Jesus, this one they thought would save them, only to see him hanging on a cross and die. And now after he's raised, after he's walked to Emmaus with them, after he's spent some physical time with them eating dinner, they finally recognize him, and soon enough he's carried off into heaven. And they seem okay with it. They just do what Jesus has told them to do. They stay in the city. Which makes me think the message of the ascension is this: God's power is given right where we are. Just like we and my church at Sioux Falls didn't grab on to the hot air balloon basket when our church members took off for their hot air balloon ride, but instead followed that basket and met them where it landed, we don't ascend to places outside of ourselves. We stay planted here in the community where we find ourselves, worshiping and blessing and loving and forgiving with great joy. We stay here, trusting that God is with us in new ways. It's counterintuitive, I know, but those of you who have had to say goodbye to dear loved ones as they've entered the heavenly realm know what I'm talking about. While we are left to stay without our beloved in the same way, we are given graces, it seems, that can only be given when we stay here. And we are given a community with others that can only be given as we stay here. A few months ago, I was asked, along with another newer pastor here at Mount Olivet, what it was that made this church the place it is. They wondered how we have 300 plus students in our high school choir, how we have thousands of youth that line up for camps in the for Cathedral of the Pines camp in the summer, hoping to get a spot, how we have 16,000 members and are continuing to grow. They said, what is it about Mount Olivet? And without missing a beat, both of us said, it's the way it builds community. We are living in a time of huge loneliness, so finding places of community are rare and yet so important. We see internet communities all over the place that flaunt perfection and belonging if you fit a certain mold. But I love what Pastor Callen says each week when he invites people to join us here at Mount Olivet in this community. He says we only want a certain kind of person. We only want sinners. If you're perfect, you won't fit in here. Jesus' community is always a bunch of people who are not alike, who may not ever find their way to each other on their own, but they share one thing in common, and that is they are not perfect. I was thinking about this early this morning as I started worrying about how in the world ascension lands with people. It's just such a hard thing to get in our heads. And then a wise pastor's voice came to me. This pastor knows my personality and my propensity to worry about things out of my control, to start grasping for things that may not go exactly perfectly. And this pastor would always say to me, Becca, trust your stuff. Jesus has given you all that you have right now. You don't need to reach beyond it. Jesus is found right where we are, not where we think we want to be, but right where we are. And I believe community at Mount Olivet is built on the ascension. Stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power on high, from on high, power that blesses, power that loves, power that forgives, just as you are, not as someone you are not. And when you are simply acting in that grace, in the graces you've been given by God, the power of community makes a huge impact. The gospel writer we heard from today, Luke, tells a lot of stories about the power of community. And perhaps my favorite is the story of the parable of the great banquet that Mount Olivet has taken its cues from as it shares community dinner with neighbors every Thursday night, something that I've gotten to be part of ever since Pastor McLean semi-retired. But you'll see him in just a moment. Anyway, it's about this story is one of my favorites in all of the gospel because I think it's what community is all about. It's about a landowner who holds a great big meal and invites all of his friends who all come up with excuses for why they can't attend the dinner. They say, I can't come to the banquet because I've just gotten married. I have a farm and I have animals to keep. I have fields and commitments that are taxing me. I simply can't come to your banquet. So the landowner then says to his servant, go out into the city streets and bring in anyone who needs a meal, which you know is all of us. So the servant does this, and they all come, but there's still room for more, even with all the people on the city streets. And so the landowner tells the servant to go out again and extend the invitation to join all in the valleys and byways far, far, far away, because he wants his house to be full. That is the vision of community that God gives us. It's the vision of God's heaven on earth, not to sit next to folks who are just like you, not to look up at the sky waiting for Jesus to come back or give you like your vending machine prayer, but staying right where you are, worshiping, blessing, and forgiving one another with great joy, trusting That's where God is. Just like the balloon that was returned to one to me from the young girl in Wisconsin, it obviously didn't return in the way it was released, full of helium floating to the sky. This balloon had fallen in a farm field, and in its brokenness delivered a very special message back to me, that God loves me, and God loves you too. Jesus' ascension is the same way. He ascends to heaven, not in perfection, but carrying the wounds of the crucifixion. He ascends to the sky carrying these wounds and blessing us through his wounds so that we can bless one another through ours. God's kingdom is never about ascending above one another, but walking with each other, trusting that God is with us even when we can't figure it out on our own. God's kingdom is always about community, right here and right now, not ascending above one another, as I said, but finding Christ right here on earth, in and with one another. For as the ascension proclaims, this is where heaven is found. So trust your stuff. God gives you the grace right where you are. Thanks be to God. Amen.